For Antiwar.com, I'm Scott Horton. This is Antiwar Radio. And I'm joined on the phone by Mulalai Joya. Did I say that right, Mulalai?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you. Thanks for your interview.
You were the youngest member of the new Afghan parliament, elected in 2005. And you're the author of a book that's just come out in America called A Woman Among the Warlords. In Europe, it's titled Raising My Voice. And you came to our attention at antiwar.com when we saw this almost funny contrast between two CNN interviews that you did. One on CNN International, where they treated you with perfect respect and let you say whatever you want, and one on regular CNN that only Americans see, where they interrupted you and talked you down and wouldn't let you say what you wanted to say. And so we decided that it would be a good idea if we get you on Antiwar Radio and let you say what it is that you want to say. And I guess let's start there. What was it, do you think, that bothered the CNN anchor so much when she interrupted you and talked over you last week?
Yeah, as you know, mainstream media is still there trying to put dust on the eyes of the great and justice-loving people around the world, including in the U.S. people. They never want to tell the truth, and especially after 9/11, that U.S. and NATO, they pushed us from the frying pan to the fire, and they brought in power the photocopy of Taliban, brother and creed of the Taliban, who did civil war in Afghanistan before domination of Taliban from 92 to 96. So with the mask of democracy still there in power and continue to their crimes under the name of democracy, women's rights, human rights, and they have support of the U.S. government and NATO. That's why mainstream media is still there betraying the truth. And those who are telling the truth, first of all, they do not invite them for this kind of mainstream media. But secondly, as my experience that you saw during CNN, BBC, only few minutes they're giving chance, while there is many shocking news that which is important to tell to the great people around the world.
Well, you know, beyond just your points that you're trying to make about how the Americans were backing people that were not good for Afghanistan, which is, I think, was the point that you were really trying to get at in that CNN interview, you were interrupted by the CNN anchor for using the word occupation. And she said, well, I think a lot of people would dispute the term occupation being applied to the American military in Afghanistan. So my question is, is there anyone in Afghanistan who would object to the term occupation being used to describe to the American forces there?
Of course, today millions of Afghan they come to know, to this point, that this U.S. and NATO government, they occupied our country, and they want to make their military base there in Afghanistan as because of their regional economic and strategic interest, they come in Afghanistan. And right now you see that people coming on the streets, they do demonstration against occupation and against these warlord Taliban that who are in power, and thereby they're getting powerful. And today Karzai is the corrupt mafia puppet regime as an example that how people do not support, and it is weak today. And by presence of thousands of troops in Afghanistan, my people do not have security, and millions of people, they suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness, poverty, etc. And this 8 years, my people are looking that these occupation forces are bombing and killing civilians under the name of Taliban. Most of them are women and children. In the meantime, U.S. and NATO government, including Canada government, this 8 years, supporting this mafia system, still they are spending their taxpayer monies and the blood of their soldiers by support of this non-democratic mafia regime.
Well, as I'm sure you're well aware, the narrative that we're told in the media here in America sounds a little bit like what you said. Only what they add to that is, this is because George Bush waged the wrong war in Iraq. Barack Obama, when he was running for president, said he's going to fight the right war in the right place. The real war on terrorism is in Afghanistan. So the reason they would agree with you that after 8 years, it's nothing but chaos there. But they would say that's why we have to double down. That's why we have to solve all these problems that the Bush administration did not do a good enough job of solving.
I in this part, I am not agree with Mr. Obama. Against these are just propaganda and deceiving people around the world. This 8 years is enough to know that democracy never comes by war. Democracy never comes by cluster bomb, white phosphorus, and what at least situation of Iraq and Afghanistan proved this claim. And also that if really Mr. Obama honest for my people, first of all, not only criticize the wrong policy of criminal Bush and try to bring this criminal to the International Criminal Court for the war crime that he committed in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. And they say war of Afghanistan is good war, war of Iraq is bad war. I don't know what is the difference between the word of war. And especially this 8 years is enough better that Mr. Obama know. And if really Mr. Obama honest for my people in this occupation, do not surge more troops in Afghanistan, which will bring more conflict, more war, and quite similar the wrong policy of Bush administration. He must stop arming the warlords, not negotiate with Taliban. And also, Mr. Obama, if really honest for Afghan people, he must support democratic-minded, justice-loving people of my country. Some parties we have, more than parties, intellectuals we have, like your country, like U.S. country, like other countries around the world. But there is no honorable job for them. And these bunch of killers who are like Pinochet, Khomeini, Suharto, Mussolini, Franco, and Bush, they are in power with the mask of democracy itself. And also, Mr. Obama, sometimes I think the policy of Mr. Obama is even worse than Bush, but because he started war in Pakistan as well, in the border area of Pakistan, and he must raise his voice at least as a Democrat person against the criminal regime of Israel today, what is going on in Pakistan, in Palestine. And meantime, that regarding official figures, the innocent civilians who has been killed in the period of Obama that came in power is much more than even the period of criminal Bush. And also right now, Mr. Obama want to declare barbaric Taliban and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, this fascist man, as a moderate to join the government. We have no moderate Taliban. First of all, this is question for my people, and I think for the great people around the world, how they recognize this terrorist is moderate, that one is not. In the meantime, they put soft name on Taliban, these terrorist people, to bring them also in power, to have a reason through mainstream media to you, Democrat people of the around the world. And in the meantime, you at least Democrat justice-loving people of Canada, U.S., around the world, they know Mullah Omar, this fascist man. And also Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, that Bush put even price on the head of this terrorist, and his name is in the blacklist of the UN. But Hamid Karzai and Abdullah, these two persons who ran for the presidential election, both of them betrayed a lot my people, and both of them invite Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and Mullah Omar to join the government, even call these terrorist brothers. Why Mr. Obama do not raise the voice against this non-democratic act, and they want to bring more warlords, these criminals, in power? Only Mullah Omar and Gulbuddin is not in power. Because of these facts that we are saying, policy of Mr. Obama is even worse than Bush regarding my country. He maybe do something good for his country or do not do, but his foreign policy regarding Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and Palestine is just a war crime.
Well, I think it's interesting to note that Hekmatyar, if I remember correctly, boasted in the media a couple of years ago that he proudly took money from the Americans and then helped Osama bin Laden escape to Pakistan in the fall of 2001.
Yes, they are supporting brother in creed of Osama, brother in creed of Mullah Omar. They give shelter to Obama, and they did civil war from 92 to 96. To know better about Sayyaf and many other Sayyaf in Afghanistan, like only their name is different, like Kanuni, Mahakek, Dostom, Ismail Khan, Abdullah, and this Gulabzoi, Ulumi, these criminals, if to know better about them, it's enough to see Human Rights Watch website. And still they are supporting. See, Mr. Obama says that Dostom is a wanted criminal. Even mainstream media exposed his crime recently. But even during this non-democratic tragic drama of the election, this criminal Dostom coming from Turkey and attending this non-democratic election, Mr. Obama do not raise the voice against that. And even we have in our constitution, those accused as war criminal, they must not run for the election. But even Taliban, these terrorists running for the election. But why Mr. Obama do not raise the voice against all of these illegal acts? These warlords who are in power, day by day, they tear their masks for the great people around the world. I think only one example is enough to know better about them. For example, recently during the election, this non-democratic election, fundamentalist Shia warlords, they made a kind of a misogynist law against Shia's women. That seven articles of this law is quite similar like Taliban. Let me tell you one article of this law to know better how much they are mentally same like Taliban.
Sure.
That they banned women to go out or to go to the doctor or have job without permission of their husband, which is elementary rights of the woman. Even the women of my country, this 8 years after 9/11, they didn't gain the limited rights that they enjoyed in the centuries of 60s, 70s, and 80s. But U.S., Canada, and NATO countries, shamelessly, they portray themselves to you, great people of the around the world, that for the first time we brought to women rights in Afghanistan, which is a big lie. They say to you that women now do not wear burqa, while today this disgusting burqa gives life. Lots of women are wearing burqa, even in the big cities like Kabul, Herat, Mazar-e-Sharif, even in these cities also women are wearing burqa that just to be alive. Anyway, these are just big lies and deceiving you people around the world. Today's situation of the woman as catastrophic as it was under the domination of Taliban. Today, killing a woman that much easy for these warlords like killing a bird. Every man, tens of women commit suicide. Rape cases, domestic violence, attack suicide, killing of women increasing rapidly. And the only difference between now and Taliban period is that all of these crimes are happening under the name of democracy. They betray democracy.
Now, let me see if I can try to parse this. I'm only playing devil's advocate. I hope you understand. I want to try to challenge you with as many of the official narratives as possible for you to dispel. And I think you're doing a really great job. I hope people are listening very carefully to what you're saying here. But I understand what you just said, that women's rights now is no better than under the Taliban. But are you saying, well, we might as well be ruled by the Taliban? Because, of course, the official story is that if we leave now, the Taliban will take over the whole country. And it'll be like 1997 or 1998, and it'll be not even a chance that women's rights would be improved any time in the near future. And that if we leave, that we're abandoning you. We're abandoning you and your people and the rest of the women in Afghan society to the worst of the Taliban.
You know, now it is fashionable for the media as well that every crime in Afghanistan happening, they say to Democrat people around the world as a tip of the iceberg, only few examples, not shocking news, just few examples they are giving, then they say Taliban did that. And they are not only Taliban, these are warlords also they are doing. Today, this is fashionable for the media as well that they are saying if Taliban leave Afghanistan, if foreign troops leave Afghanistan, Taliban will eat the people of Afghanistan, or I don't know, they will come in power, or civil war will happen, etc. While today itself is civil war. As long as these occupation forces be in Afghanistan, the worst civil war will be. Now my people is squashed between two powerful enemies. From the sky, occupation forces bombing and killing civilians, most of them women and children. Later I can give you some examples of their war crime that their government doing. And in the ground, Taliban and warlords continue to their fascism. When Taliban, these terrorist people come in power, these warlords, everyone become mice, skipping their holes. these warlords, since Cold War, they got support from the CIA, ISI, Saudi Arabistan, Russia, Pakistan, Iran, etc. But these warlords who did civil war from 1992 to 1996, and a lone couple, they killed more than 65 innocent civilians. But after 9/11 tragedy, again, by support of CIA, ISI, and these other countries, 40 more countries who occupied my country, without at least these warlords, they apologize to my people, without that their leader that bring them to the National International Criminal Court, they come in power with suit and tie and talking about democracy. This is why, that's why today these mice become wolves. Now these are wolves in the skin of lambs, still deceiving people around the world. Those who had responsible of this civil war in Afghanistan and also the war crime in Afghanistan and this the many crimes they committed against women rights, human rights, they are in power and day by day getting powerful. Today they are wolves, tomorrow getting dinosaur. They are like Taliban. Today, every day for my people is 11 September. If they do not stop this wrong policy, tomorrow another 11 September will happen in the world. My people, say, middle-minded, terrorist people, Taliban, almost destroyed opium. It was like 185 metric ton. But now, since 2001 until now, 4,500% opium increase. My people say a superpower country with 40 more countries not able to destroy opium. They changed my country to their playground once again. They occupied my country because of geopolitical location of Afghanistan. When Afghanistan to be under their control, they can very easily control Iran, Pakistan, Russia, China, Uzbekistan, etc. Then they will have very easily access to the gas and oil of the Central Asian republics. In the meantime, CIA especially receiving millions of dollars through dirty business of opium after arms and oil trade in the world. And these are three reasons that they occupied my country. Now, for example, every day after 9/11, every day in Afghanistan, U.S. spend $1 million for war in Afghanistan, while for total reconstruction of Afghanistan, the aid is $7 a day. Most of this money, $7 million, sorry, a day. Most of this money go into pocket of these warlords, drug lords, NGO lords, and these donors themselves. So now my people, they have two ways. Democrat people of my country who are underground activists and justice-loving, innocent people of my country to do compromise with these warlords and all do a struggle. Of course, never my people do compromise, as you see, Karzai's puppet regime, how much weak, and day by day they do demonstration against occupation, against warlord, against Taliban, and also that the resistance of people day by day getting increased, and Karzai's regime is so weak. If they give chance after 9/11 to democratic-minded, justice-loving people of my country, two times Afghanistan was rebuilt with that much money. $36 billion the government of Hamid Karzai received. UNDP gave report recently that Afghanistan is ranked 181st out of 182 countries. And again, these warlords, these looters, these killers, these misogynists in power, and still getting support by U.S. government and NATO. As they are not honest for my people, it is better to leave my country. I think Democrat people of Canada around the world agree that to fight against one enemy is much easier instead of two. So these occupation, when they leave Afghanistan and stop this war crime in Afghanistan, then we know what to do with our destiny, especially these Taliban and warlords. Now my people know them enough and hate them. We will struggle. As history shows, no nation can donate liberation to another nation. This is our responsibility to bring democracy, women rights, human rights. But no question, we need helping hand of democratic, justice-loving people around the world, human rights organizations, anti-war movement, peace-loving organizations. They must join their hands with us. This is the prolonged struggle. We want liberation, not occupation, which is clear they occupied my country. If Canada, if U.S., if 40 more countries, this NATO, do not leave my country voluntarily, with the passage of time, they will face more with the resistance of my people. We will give good lesson to the U.S. and NATO in the future, same that we did in the past. to the Russia as a superpower country, to the British three times. Our history shows that we never accept occupation, and they must end this tragic drama of so-called war on terror, which is war on innocent civilians.
Well, I hear you loud and clear. You're saying that we have terrible actors on all sides. We have Dostum and Hekmatyar and Karzai and these horrible warlords on the side of America, and we have the Mullah Omar and his Taliban on the other side. And you're saying that if NATO would leave, if the occupying armies would leave, then it is the responsibility of the people of Afghanistan in general to protect their own liberty from these monsters. And I hear you loud and clear, but I want to ask you, the challenge is that, as I'm sure they would say on CNN, that you would lose. The innocent, peace-loving people of Afghanistan, as you say, you would all lose. And it would only be a contest between whether Hekmatyar or Dostum or Mullah Omar eventually would come out on top. That you would be helpless, and they would, I believe they would portray you as naive and say, you need our help to protect you from these men, regardless of the fact that we're the ones, pushing them on you in the first place. So, I'm sorry for the long-winded question, but what I'm trying to get to is, if I could order all the troops out tomorrow, would the innocent, peace-loving people of Afghanistan be able to protect their own liberty, or is the advantage, too far to the warlords at this point?
No question, to fight against these terrorists is not easy struggle, especially that they were mice, I told you, they become wolves. And now they are supporting them more, means the U.S. government and NATO. That's why we want them, that their message is that stop arming these warlords, not negotiate with Taliban. We have no moderate Taliban. Don't put soft name on these terrorists to bring them also in power. Today, Taliban already in power. One member of parliament is Talib. One member of Senate is Talib. Today, Mullah Mutawakkil, foreign minister of Taliban, has good life in Kabul. Ambassador of Taliban, who was in the Pakistan in the period of Taliban, Mullah Abdul Salam Zaif, has good life in Kabul. Mullah Rahmatullah Hashimi, who destroyed our Buddha's status, and he was a spokesperson of Taliban, has good life in Yale University, one of the best university of the U.S. Why, if U.S. government really honest, do not put this criminal from the universities, from the power, from the government, like Nuriga, in the jail? They, if they want a superpower country with 40 more countries, they can. But unfortunately, they don't want, because they need to destroy us and support them. Now my people that much fed up that they say, we don't expect anything good from you. Just stop wrongdoing. Your government say we are doing humanitarian job in Afghanistan, but they build some schools in some big cities, but when the girls go to school, they threw acids on their faces. What happened in Ningarhar, in Kandahar, you saw, and also that hundreds of girls in the northern provinces of Afghanistan, media gave report that they become poisoned when they go to the school, that their nose and ears of the teachers, they cut out, and they threaten them to death. For months, teachers are not receiving salary. 2 years was bad years for the journalists, mainstream media, just coming in Kabul and luxury hotels, and also these so-called politicians that who are coming in luxury hotels, just make appointment with these so-called politician, member of the parliament, with the ministers, with this mafia system. Then they come to their country and giving to your country the report, put the name public opinion, which is not, which is a big lie. Today, you see, but that itself is like civil war. I told you the troops bombing and killing civilians under the name of Taliban. What they did on May in Farah province this year, this was the worst massacre after 9/11 in Afghanistan. In one day, 150 civilians has been killed, most of them women and children. Even they use white phosphorus and cluster bomb. Even they are bombing our wedding parties, what they did in Ningarhar, in Nuristan, also in Kandahar. And also, on 9th of September, they did bombing Kunduz province. 200 civilians has been killed. You can see Professor Mark Herald website. After all of these crimes, White House says, apologize. Karzai's puppet mafia system says, thank you. No, the blood of my people is not water that they shed. It worth as much as the blood of Westerners worth. They must end this tragic drama of so-called war on terror. Even today, directly, indirectly, they are supporting Taliban. Why, Mr. Obama and the high-ranking official of your country, Canada, do not raise the voice against this act of Karzai that who invite Mullah Omar and Gulbuddin also to join the government? Today, the world know who is Mullah Omar, this fascist man. Why they do not raise their voice when Hamid Karzai choose two cruel men like Qasim Fahim and Karim Khalili as vice president? Even Human Rights Watch, Mr. Broad Adam, said that Karzai insulting the people of Afghanistan by this act. But I'm saying no, he's betraying my people. By presence of thousands of troops, we have jungle law in Afghanistan. Even in Kabul, there are no security. UN office has been attacked recently. Serena Hotel has been attacked. But again, shamelessly, they portray themselves that we are there like peace angel. No, they are not peace angel. They occupied my country and they must leave my country as they are not honest. But my message to you people of the Canada as a nation, as a democrat people, to you also people of U.S. around the world is that you are the one who do not leave us alone. Join your hands with us that this struggle that we are fighting against Franco, Pinochet, Hitler, Mussolini and Bush of my country. Only the name is different. No question we need your helping hand, not the occupation of your government.
Well, I sure appreciate that, and I absolutely agree with you that it's the responsibility of everyone to do what they can to stop this occupation immediately. Because, after all, like you say, we're not talking about water. We're talking about human lives that are, you know, in America, we have a tradition where we believe that self-evident truth, that every single human being is born with their own natural right to their own life, their own liberty, their own property, the pursuit of their own happiness. And it doesn't say all Americans. It says all people, all mankind. And it's supposed to be what we believe in here. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to understand that murdering Afghans is just as wrong as if, you know, some Saudis based out of Afghanistan murder some Americans. But I think we really do have to continue driving home that point.
Yeah, I think the main alternative is the truth. If the mainstream media say the truth, give all of these shocking news, all of these war crime they do in my country, I'm sure the great people of Canada, U.S., around the world, they will not sit silent. Their government will face with the resistance of their people, first of all. From this opportunity, on behalf of my people, let me say condolences to those Canadian mom, American mom, and other NATO countries, mothers who lost their sons and their daughters in my country. I pay condolences to them, but my message to them is that please change your sorrows and your tears to the strength and raise your voice against the wrong policy of your government, against occupation, against this war crime.
Okay, now I just want to ask you one more question. There's a major American peace group that has backed off their call for a timeline for withdrawal because apparently some of these women have gone to Afghanistan and they now say we must leave in the right way. So I wonder if you have a response to that.
As they are not honest that to change their policy, as I told you, no question we need helping hand, and this 8 years is enough to know better about the wrong policy of their government. My message to the good politician, Democrat politician who are in power in these countries is that, as I had with some congressmen and women and of U.S. appointment a few days before, I told them, to every one of them, the silence of good people is worse than the action of bad people. Change your policy, otherwise leave my country as soon as possible. Stop arming these warlords, not negotiate with Taliban. Support democratic-minded people of my country that like your country, we have a lot. When you do not stop this war crime, this occupation, today you must leave Afghanistan. Otherwise, in the future, we will give good lesson, my people, with their empty hands, the good lesson that they give to the Russia, the superpower country in the past. It takes time. They occupied the country. As I told you, we have two ways. My people have two ways to do a struggle. One, to do compromise with this mafia regime that never do. Karzai's regime is a good example how much it is weak. in this election is example. Another example, this non-democratic election, millions of people did not attend in the election. Even international observers talking about widespread threat. And also, another way for us is that to do a struggle, to do resistance, not sit silent. And this is what my people do every day. Never they give report of these demonstrations of the people, which is very important. And political knowledge of my people, this 30 years war, we almost lost everything. But we gained this positive things, which is political consciousness of my people, improved a lot. And our history shows we never accept occupation. They must end this tragic drama of so-called war on terror. And as Martin Luther King says, unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than ever triumphant.
All right, everybody, that's Malalai Joya. She's the author of A Woman Among the Warlords. Her website is malalaijoya.com. Thank you very much for your time on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks again for this interview. Have a nice day.